This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This World Environment Day special is brought to you by Volvo Cars.
Good morning. It's time for episode 4 of our Sustainable Superheroes series brought to you by Volvo. On the show today, Frida speaks to the boys behind Fee54, a technology-first co-farming company that focuses on empowering a new generation of progressive farmers right here in Southeast Asia. These boys are doing some amazing things for the agri-tech industry here, and it sounds like they're having a blast doing it too.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
Good morning. This is Rita Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. It's World Environment Day this week, and this year's theme is Reimagine, Recreate, and Restore. How is Fee54 doing this? Well, there's a new sexy term in town. It's agropreneurs. Fee54 is a technology-first co-farming company that focuses on empowering the new generation of progressive farmers in ASEAN, and is founded by Kelvin So and Chris Fong, and they do not come from a farming background. So this is going to be an exciting and interesting story. So do tell me about your background, because like I said, you guys both don't seem to be regular farmers. We'll start with you, Kelvin.
Hi, my name is Kelvin. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Fee54 together with Chris. Yeah, I think the story starts when I founded my old company and exited a few years back. Yeah, so I'm a 20-year entrepreneur that left at the old advertising sector, which I felt was a little bit of a sunsetting factor for me lah. But when I was leaving, I was looking for the next thing to do. And I just looked back at the around friends and family back home in Malaysia. Oh, I'm Malaysian, by the way, that's based in Singapore. So I've got friends and family back home in Malaysia that's like in the whole supply chain for agriculture. My uncle was selling fertilizer and nutrients. My cousin has a durian farm, Johor. I got a friend doing composting in JB. And I got two good friends that were running a commercial farm in Gotong Jaya. And their family runs a big farm in Cameron Highlands also lah. Yeah, so that's where we got inspired by all the problems that a farmer was facing. Me and Chris, we were actually there when our friends started the farm back in Gotong Jaya. That's about four years ago already lah. They ran it for about 3 years, then closed it down. So in that period, right, we could really tell what were the up and down of a commercial farm business lah. Yeah, and true enough, farmers know how to farm, but there are a lot of other things that contribute to their problems. Yeah, that's where I felt that, I think Chris and I together, right, and a lot of other people around us at that point in time could come out with a solution to solve their problem. And in fact, it's solving 100 million Southeast Asian smallholder problem at the same time. That's where we felt that, yeah, there's something going on there. Yeah, so that's my background. Yeah, Chris' background very different from mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hi. My name is Chris Fong. Thanks, Freda, for having us. Like what Kelvin said, my background can't be any more different from Kelvin. His claim to fame is starting a media company when he was very, very young, grew it to a point where he sold it to the world's biggest media company, having a successful exit. While I was, prior to Fee54, a corporate rat all my life. And I work for Big Four for half my career over the 12, 13 years. And then the other half, I work for mainly financial institutions, but I've always been in technology, risk controls, process design, process digitalization type of work, et cetera, et cetera. So, like what Kelvin has said, you know, we have common friends, and for him, those are childhood friends that were smallholder farmers themselves. We were there when they set up their own farms. We were very excited together with them. But then, you know, smallholder farmers, they all just simply face the same set of problems everywhere. Right? They're being bullied by the middlemen. They're too small to have any economies of scale. Very limited knowledge and access to, you know, modern farming infrastructure, etc., etc. And we saw that whole journey as they struggled and eventually had to close down their farms. Throughout this process, we were learning about what some of these issues that they were facing. And like what Kelvin was saying, you know, farmers know how to grow. That's the one thing that they do best. But everything else around the running of a farm, in terms of the farm operations, from finances to inventory to logistics being faithful and to a standardized set of processes, to having time to go out to actually develop your market so that you don't rely on just one buyer who could pull the plug at any point in time, are things that they cannot manage by themselves. And when we realize that we bring all this group of people together, and there are five of us in our founding team, Kelvin and I, we've got two smallholder farmers as well as another close friend of ours that's in real estate. We realized that we all individually possess a skill set that can reimagine a value chain that can help smallholder farmers right from the inception, helping them get access to funds, getting access to infrastructure, a modern farming infrastructure, helping them with standardizing their operations, how they grow, to finding them a guaranteed buyer. And we realize when we put that kind of value chain together, we're effectively coming up with a solution like what Kelvin said, could solve the problem of every smallholder farmers out there in developing countries.
Right. Okay, so both of you are Malaysians, educated in Singapore.
No, I'm in Singapore. I'm a Singaporean.
You're a Singaporean.
I'm the only Singaporean. Chris Fong, by the way. Fong is the only Singaporean on the entire team.
Okay.
My wife is Singaporean and is Chris's childhood friend. So he's my friend-in-law.
The joke is that he had to get my approval before they can get married.
I knew him like 20 years ago already.
Not true at all.
Dating my wife. Now we're neighbors in Singapore. Yeah, and stuck here during the MCO period. Yeah.
I see. So this is the challenge, right? And of course, doing this as well, right? And I guess the name Fee54 is Fee54 Farm. Fee54.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
Beanstalk. Yeah, so the idea behind that is that these are the magic beans, I guess. You guys, you know, bring the magic beans to this.
Yeah. So if you remember the fairy tale, the story, we are trying to help the villagers or the farmers to climb up the giant beanstalk and go up and find the golden egg. So that's where the whole thing about, like, the giant keeps saying Fee54 Farm, right? Yeah, so that's what we want to call our co-farms as well.
So if you look at, interesting fact, if you look at our company logo, which is a big square, is a rectangle with a big F in it, if you look at the F, you will actually see graphics of a beanstalk growing up into the clouds, and there's a golden egg right on top.
Right.
So that kind of really reflects what we want to do as far as helping smallholder farmers concerned. We want to lift many of these smallholder farmers, which is at the bottom 40 of this income pyramid, and bring them up, elevate them, modernize them, increase their profitability and efficacy so that they can all be lifted out of this B40 demographic.
And I can imagine that the logo was done by the advertising guy. Anyway, how does this co-farming space work?
Oh, okay, Chris. I think you can start off with how all this happened. Yes, yeah.
How does it work, right? So, in short, what Fee54 does is we build enclaves of co-farms around major cities of in Southeast Asia. So you can imagine, co-farms, they have 10 acres to 25 acres in size, pockets of that all around major cities that we serve as the market. Each co-farm is built up completely with commercial farming infrastructure. So you have greenhouses, we also have open farming plots, but all of them use modern farm systems like hydroponics or fertigation that doesn't rely on the arability of the land. And every coal farm also have shared facilities like the packing centers, pump rooms, nurseries, etc., that all our agropreneurs can access to. So from their perspective, agropreneurs can come to our coal farms and lease a ready-to-farm space to start their own commercial farms. And it comes with managed farm services. So we helped consolidate all our agropreneurs' agri-purchase requirements and their sales requirements and help them and perform as like their agents, where we front them to basically get into those commercial arrangements where we can leverage strength in numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So imagine it's something like the cloud kitchen model. Yeah. So when you, yeah, we have already developed everything for them. Imagine as a value chain solution versus just the farm space. There's technology involved, as well as all the partnerships and guaranteed buyers that we already pre-established for the farms to join.
So how does it look like from the agropreneur's perspective? They come in, all they need to do is to put up 3 months of security deposit, which is the value of the type of farm space that they lease. And all they need to bring to the table beyond the 3 months security deposit is a great attitude. FIFO can help them with their first harvest OPEX, what they need to actually run their first harvest cycle. They grow crops, they are pre-curated by us, and we make sure that they are short cycle cash crops, they are profitable, they are able to support them cycle on cycle. So post the first harvest OPEX, our pre-curated crops support itself cycle on cycle. Once they come in, they start growing in standardized farm spaces, 1 or 2 acres depending on the crop, greenhouse or not, but they all use standard commercial crop systems like fertigation. And most importantly, they operate on our digital platform. So we all of them have a mobile app that essentially helps to standardize all their farming workflows using digital crop models. So from inventory, they have a wallet that helps them manage their finances. They have an inventory that helps them buy the right things in the right amounts. They have digital crop cycle management modules. They have got digital harvest recording modules that helps them basically go through a very standardized protocol to grow the crop that they are selected to grow, which had already been tried and tested by us and digitalized on our platform. When they are done harvesting, we help coordinate all their harvests and we sell them to guaranteed buyers that we have already established. So literally, seed to sale process, the agropreneurs has the entire value chain taken care of as a managed farm service.
All right, so I'm very enticed. Now, before I decide to make a career switch to be an agropreneur, what's the minimum investment to do this?
Oh, there's no real minimum investment. So the security deposit, if you refer that to a minimum investment, it's actually a deposit. You can take it back when you leave.
Yeah. So imagine you're renting a condo.
Correct. Yeah. So it's just a 3 months. So the lowest package is 2,600 ringgit. So you just times 3 of those. Yeah, so it's less than 8,000 ringgit only for a security deposit. Yeah, but other than that, everything else is provided by our managed farm service, as well as if you require a financial support, the first harvest cycle will be, let's call it a cash investment from us. Yeah, so we would have purchased the equipment, the input supply and everything on your behalf, so that you can sustain for your first harvest cycle. Thereafter, like Chris mentioned, you'll be self-sustaining already.
Correct. So literally zero out of pocket apart from the security deposit or 3 months security deposit that you put up, which of course by the end of the journey when our entrepreneurs leave, like renting a condo, nothing wrong with the farm space, you get it back.
Right. Okay. We're talking about a new kind of farming with Kelvin So and Chris Fong from FIFO. Stay tuned. The FM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business. Good morning, I'm Frida Liu. It's World Environment Day this week, and this year's theme is Reimagine, Recreate, and Restore. And I am definitely inspired speaking to Kelvin So and Chris Fong from Fee54. And, they're the first, I guess, co-farming company. You would be the technology-first co-farming company that I know of in this part of the world.
Actually, there isn't any that we know of as well. Yeah, co-farming was a term that's coined by us. Yes, yeah.
We do say that we are the first of our kind in the sense that, you know, our core business is helping to use technology and standardize physical infrastructure to help all our smallholder farmers standardize their operations.
Right. Mm. Okay. Now, why have you partnered with Crops of the Future?
So CFF does fantastic work around research on underutilized crops. What we see in the supermarket today is really, you know, driven by consumer choices and also a lot of these businesses which opt to only make available crops, fruits and vegetables that are popular among people and are easy to sell. There are a lot of native crops out there which has already been lost. You know, our grandparents, our great-grandparents used to eat these things that are no longer available. And many of these forgotten crops are actually native, easy to grow and very nutritious. So CFF does a lot of work around that, and we partner with them as a research center where some of these research around we want to leverage on some of these research around these forgotten crops and help give our smallholder farmers, our agropreneurs, more choices to grow instead of the usual few things and face very stiff competition out there.
Right. Okay. So these are actually almost blue ocean in that sense, right? Who else comprises your advisory panel and what do they bring to the table?
If you talk about the partnerships, right, a lot of it is throughout the value chain. So from that, in the research angle, it's CFF. We have a tech partner that's helping us with the technology side of things. He's also our corporate investor, that's Lifeline Lab. Yeah. So he's the one that we are working with to build out our entire seed-to-sale proprietary platform.
Shout out to Nanta.
And we have a tech team in India as well. Yeah, so we from the start, we already have like a distributed team in Singapore, Malaysia, as well as India. Yeah, helping us build our entire company together.
We also have partners in the agri infrastructure and equipment space. So we have our greenhouse preferred supplier that is operating out of Thailand and India. We have got preferred suppliers in terms of agri inputs that we help purchase for agripreneurs and equipment and crop systems as well. We also have educational partners, people like UPM, etc. And we're also trying to speak to some of these financial institutions like AgroBank and hopefully see whether we can explore some kind of partnerships as well.
Right. Have you guys also considered indoor vertical farming?
I wouldn't say no at this point in time, but I think we do need to make a big differentiator between what co-farming does and what some of the other tech-driven growers do. These days, there are a lot of agri-tech companies now that look into urban growing, that grow indoor using, you know, vertical growing technologies, electricity, aircon, grow lights, etc., etc. And these kind of farming have a very different unit of economies compared to traditional time-trusted commercial growing. So what Fee54 does effectively is no much different from other big commercial growers. We use suburban real estate. We look out for good suburban real estate. We grow under tried and tested infrastructure like greenhouses using systems that also these urban growers use, fertigation or urban or hydroponics. But we don't incur the kind of real estate prices, water, electricity costs that you do when you take on indoor farming kind of solutions. The reason why we wouldn't say no to this direction is that there are, number one, other players there. We want to focus on what co-farming is in its essence right now. But when we go into countries where have different economies or market forces compared to developing countries in Southeast Asia, like, for example, Singapore. I think that it's worthwhile to look at other forms of farming.
Because of space, right? I mean, these are the considerations and all that. And I think at the end of the day of what you're trying to do is a social enterprise in a way, because you're trying to meet a couple. There's social impact to what you're trying to do. Speaking of which, right, I know when I was looking at your website, there were a couple of SDG goals that you're trying to achieve. And you can talk about that, but maybe because it's World Environment Day, right? How are you helping with SDG 15, which is to promote land rehabilitation, and SDG 6, which is water conservation?
Actually, these two SDGs are one of our, let's call it, we are minimizing impact to those two SDGs. As a business that's embedded, our impact and profit alignment, right, is embedded into SDG 8 and 2, actually. Yeah, as an agriculture food producer, you are squarely in SDG 2, which was about food security. Yeah, that's where we actually are, correct, zero hunger, that's where we are very strong in, where we have direct impact on the food security agendas in the different countries, as well as SDG 8, which is economic growth, where we actually uplift the livelihood of a smallholder farmer. Yeah, because what we guarantee the all our crop models would get a smallholder farmer a return of 50,000 to 70,000 ringgit per year. That's already double a fresh grad pay and 10 times a sustenance farmer's annual income. So those two are our direct impact. The others that you just mentioned, right, are actually we minimize impact on those versus a positive direct impact on that. You're not getting it.
Right. How are you getting word out about what you do? To the farm, do you actually go to the farmers, go to the ground themselves and have this conversation? How are you marketing yourself? Of course, there is the new millennials, which you can do online, but how else are you getting your message across?
In Malaysia, we are actually speaking to the ministries as well as the authorities as well. So through them, we'll be hitting the database of all the different profiles that we want to hit. One of them is actually we're speaking to Felda. We hope to hit, which we already had a conversation with them already, and it seems very promising for us to able to reach 2 million rural settlers that will be interested to create co-farms in different states. And we also spoken to LPP as well as some other authorities that can help us reach the correct profile of smallholder farmers. Right.
On top of that, as we have said, we have in our founding team members smallholder farmers themselves. So we do make use of a lot of our smallholder farming connections that we already have within our own team. We've also run roadshows in UPM whereby we try to raise awareness among the agri tertiary graduates about what we do. And so far, we have been getting very good responses from them.
Right. Okay. So get them at university, get them at education where they can see this, right, and see the potential in farming, right?
Because one of the big problems that we're trying to solve as well. Do you know that in Southeast Asia, the average age of a farmer, smallholder farmer, is around 60 years old? It means in 10, 15 years' time, right, all these people will be retired. Yeah. And this sector is just not profitable enough or not attractive enough for the younger generation to come on. And yeah, this is one very big gap that we face. A lot of people don't want to be farmers, ma, when you graduate from a university. So how do we do that? How do we attract that next generation of farmers? That's where we are so-called addressing. That's why the agri-science graduates is one of our key profiles of people that would be interested in what we're doing.
So you give them a sexy name. You call them agropreneur, that kind of thing. But even talking to all these universities, talking to various boards and what have you, what have been some of the obstacles in doing this bureaucracy?
There's so many.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we have a lot. Let's call it demand, but we cannot catch up with the funds that we need to build the co-fund for them. Yeah, so it's the other way around. Actually, we have quite a lot of good traction and a lot of people believe in the value that we're providing. Yeah.
And on a more somber note, we have been in the pandemic for more than a year now, coming into 1.5 years. The fortunate thing is that, FIFA4 being in the agribusiness space, easily got approval as an essential service. But, you know, this past 1.5 years have been extremely difficult in terms of moving people, moving materials, etc. And these are things that we struggle on and overcome on a day-by-day basis. So, yeah.
Okay.
So many fires to fight.
So many fires to fight, right? Okay. Tell me about some of your awards and accolades, though.
As FE54 or the individual?
Yeah. As FE54. FE54.
He's very much decorated, so he was hoping that he could tell his about his personal glories.
Nah, that one, the past life one. FE54 achievement is for the past two years, right? 2 years plus already. Me, we are 2 years already. Since 2019 and now, the achievements that we made were mainly we raised 2.4 million today. 2.1 million US. Yeah, we had we're granted social enterprise status in Malaysia. Yeah, from the Ministry of Entrepreneurial Development. And we have almost every other week, right, people writing in on our website to become an entrepreneur or to become an investor. Yeah, another so-called achievement we did, we ran a equity crowdfunding campaign last year, and we managed to raise about 3.1 million ringgit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, through a period of 3 months. Yeah.
Okay. So are you looking at more investors or not necessary at the moment?
Hang on. We're missing one major claim to fame. Uh-huh. Probably the reason why we're speaking to Freda as well. We got selected by Scale Up Malaysia.
Which was my next question.
And is very proud to have gone through that program and has received program investment by them. We're infinitely grateful to the wonderful partners, both in Scale Up Malaysia and Quest. Shout out to Jeffrey, Aaron, Celia, Yen, Dr. Shivabalan, and the full lot.
Right. And what did you get out of the experience with Scale Up Malaysia?
Quite a fair bit. I think both me and Chris, we were from the different backgrounds, right? But we went through all the program lessons and workshop diligently, and they really helped us structure our thoughts together. A lot of things were kind of a refresher at the same time. But you know, as a startup, right, we don't really do what we know. So with them, they help us structure our thoughts together, and especially a lot of strategic initiatives that we've been planning is put on paper. Together, that's one of my takeaways.
Yeah, and then I think the most impressive part about the SM program is how much content and knowledge is being packed into that short 3 months. I had the fortune of taking a sabbatical before we started FE54 together, and I did a master's program in Nanyang Technology University in Singapore around technopreneurship and innovation. And I would say that Scale Up would be a very condensed, very intense version of that 1 year technopreneurship master in a short 3 months, and extremely helpful as a sounding board. Yes.
Okay. Are we ready to scale beyond Malaysia, or when are the plans to go beyond Malaysia?
We've always seen ourselves as a minimally Southeast Asian play. So Malaysia had always been the pilot market for us, given our strong connections in Malaysia, Kelvin and his connections and his contacts in Malaysia. But, you know, I think as far as agriculture is concerned, where the biggest market is, nobody would disagree, is Indonesia, and that is our next market. And over a period of time, 10 years, I think, you know, we have ambitions to scale ourselves into all six Southeast Asian countries, Malaysia, India, Philippines, Thailand, Cambodia, Myanmar, both
maybe
from
Myanmar.
The perspective of starting, maybe Myanmar. Yeah, we'll wait and see. Mainly by either running and deploying our own self-operated coal farms or through a licensing program, where just like co-working or cloud kitchens,
right.
Big players who are interested in how we do things can license our business model, can license our technology, and run co-farms of their own, powered by FE54.
Okay. Great stuff with what you guys are doing, you know, and hopefully we'll just have, in the meantime, let's just wait for the pandemic to be over and things will get up and running again. Yeah. Thanks for spending time with me, Kelvin So and Chris Fong from Fee54, and you're listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
This World Environment Day special was brought to you by Volvo Cars, redefining freedom to move in a personal, sustainable, and safe way.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.